You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
We're back, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Lisa Wysocki. I'm in Ashland City, Tennessee, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, January 4th, 2026, episode 3855 by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse world.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody. We're so glad that you're back to join us for another new year. Jamie's flight was delayed in getting back from vacation. Either that or she just wanted an extended vacation. I'm not sure which. I think we all kind of wanted to extend vacation. But you know,
I'm voting for the latter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lisa, I don't know, but 2 weeks off when you were younger seemed like a long time.
Oh, it was forever. And, you know, you were so bored by the end of it.
And now 2 weeks off, it's like, do we have to go back tomorrow?
I'm totally not ready for work.
Life, yeah, exactly. And you have a busy year. We're going to talk about that. We're going to share our plans for 2026. Oh, by the way, Jamie will be back on Wednesday. She promised me. We're going to share our plans for 2026. We're going to talk about the year of the horse is 2026. And also, we're starting our segments this year with our horse husband of the month. His name is Griffin Ray. I think you're going to enjoy him. He's horse husband to the recent guest artist, Larissa Ray, who was on our show. And Lisa's going to give us a training tip on avoiding anticipation in your horse, plus in the auditor post show. We have Larissa, the wife, on to talk about her husband's interview. That's the way we're going to kind of do these this year. We'll have the husband on during the main show, and then we'll have the wife on after to follow up and see if any of it's true. So from their perspective. We are looking forward to Jamie being back on Wednesday. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today on short notice. I appreciate it.
Oh, you are so welcome.
Flights got all screwed up. Jamie went to Mexico, and flights got all screwed up because of the whole attack thing down in the southern hemisphere. So a lot of flights were canceled and things. So I think that's what happened.
Well,
out of our control.
She gets to enjoy another day.
Yes. So this is the year of the horse. And in the Chinese zodiac, the horse is the seventh of 12 animals. It's a symbol of vitality, speed, and freedom. Although I think when you own a horse, you probably lose some freedom, I think.
Yes. And some vitality, because I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted.
Exactly. And since we've just entered 2026, it's particularly exciting time because 2026 is actually the year of the fire horse. It's a rare occurrence that only happens every 60 years. So, and then officially starts on February 17th, because that's the Chinese New Year. So on February 17th, it'll be the year of the fire horse. Horse years are generally characterized by fast movement and change. It's action-oriented. It's a time for bold moves and decisive action. So that's what the year of the horse means in the Chinese calendar. It also means you can expect an uptick in social events and networking. But it does say, because energy moves so fast, there's a risk of burnout or running off a cliff. So this is what it says. If you don't have a clear goal, the motto for the horse year is often trust the motion, but keep a firm grip on the reins. I think that's a good motto for the year, right? Trust the motion.
I think that is an awesome motto. Yes. Yes.
Because there are a lot of times I feel like I'm losing grip of the reins.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think too, you know, it just seems like the whole world is speeding up. It's not just you, you know?
Right. Yeah, the whole world's lost grip of the reins.
So, exactly.
Yeah, we're just trying to keep up.
Yes.
There was a meme. There's been a ton of memes. I know you've seen a bunch of them too about the year of the horse. And I like this one the best. I didn't put who posted it because it's just a screenshot. Everyone's like, yay, year of the horse. Listen, a tummy ache will kill these guys. They tear ass around pastures on toothpick legs that will end them if they break. They spook at their own farts and cost roughly $1 million and a kidney to keep them alive while they're trying their best to die. I just want everyone to keep their expectations realistic for 2020.
I love that.
I think this should be on a shirt.
I love that.
It is true, though, when you think about it.
It is so true. They are so fragile, you know.
Everybody that doesn't have horses, the year of the horse is kind of, because they, you know, they look at from the outside in and think, oh, the horses are majestic and they're always pretty, you know, all of that. Horse people look at this one. This meme is our meme.
So, oh, for sure.
Yeah. This is what we really think.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
So happy year to the horse. Keep a hold of the reins, people. Keep a hold of the reins. I did post on my personal page as a side note, I'm selling my Fry Sprint Cart, which is, it was custom made. It was one of the very few custom made Fries to this level that he did. And they're out of business now. They're one of the best makers of carts. Pony size cart that was for Scooter, but Scooter's retired now. And I'm getting into other hobbies too. So I'm going to be selling the carriage. It's up on my Facebook page if you want to see it. Includes the harness and the bridle and two sets of wheels and the whole thing. So it's a very fun circus color because I asked them to make it circus colors. It's blue and yellow.
Yeah.
But if anybody's interested, just check out my personal Facebook page. I'll make it public so that you can see it.
So can you ship something like that?
That'd be tough. If you're in the, you know, area of Ocala, you know, if you're in Ocala area, I'll deliver it to you, but anywhere else you'd have to come pick it up. And you can visit with us. So there.
Yep.
You can meet
there
Scooter if you come in. Let's do some Daily Winnies. Okay, I know. I've already gotten crap this morning. I missed some birthdays over the holidays. I always miss Christmas birthdays because we're never doing shows. So happy birthday to all of you. It's not that we think about you any less. It's just that we're not thinking about you at all over the holidays. So,
that didn't at help, least you're honest,
it?
Glenn.
That didn't help, did it?
No.
Happy birthday to all of you. We mean it. So the birthdays for today are Katya Korsh, who was one of our first stops on the road show 5 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
Renee Kissel, Ina Adams, Sandra Holt, Mary Cater, Lisa Nilsson. Happy birthday to all of you. It was a popular day for birthdays, I'll tell you what.
It is.
Yeah. So happy birthday to all of you. We love you all, and we hope you have a fantastic day. And keep a hold of the reins.
So, Glenn, my daily winnie goes to the AutoZone guy. So we have a
It's
just the AutoZone guy. So we have a riding lawnmower and it wouldn't start. And I tried for like 3 days, Glenn, to charge this thing and finally figured out the battery was toast, you know. And so but the little screws that keep the battery in place were corroded and I couldn't get them off because it should be a simple thing. You unscrew the thing and you swap it out, you buy a new one, you put it back in. Well, I couldn't get it off. Felt like an idiot. So I go up to AutoZone and the guy said, well, we're not authorized to work on lawnmowers. We can swap out your car battery. So then this other guy comes up, the AutoZone guy, and he said, oh, let me take care of this lady. So he spent half an hour, Glenn, with like, I don't know, like 40 different instruments trying to get this battery off. And he finally did and swapped it out. And so now I'm spreading poop in the paddock again. So it's very exciting.
I hope you gave him a nice tip.
Yeah.
First half an hour of effort. That's great, though. You know, usually at those box stores, you don't find people that are willing to
no,
do that.
No, you don't. And at the end, he said, you know, if I wasn't here, this would not have happened. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. But he was so nice. And it really made a big difference. So. He deserves a little shout out, even though he'll never hear it.
Year of the Horse, a good start to the new year, right there.
Yes.
Well, you have some other news too, and I'm going to get to that. But I first wanted to share with everybody our plans for Horses in the Morning in 2026. And then we're going to talk about what Lisa's plans are. And then later on in the show, we're going to talk about our very loose goals for the year personally. And we have some listeners that have chimed in on that as well that we'll review. But first, what's coming for Horses in the Morning in 2026? We're going to continue our breeds of the alphabet. We're at the letter N, I believe. So we're going to try and get that done this year. Some of these breeds, when you get into X and those, a little tough. So
yeah.
What we decided is on those ones where there like are no breeds except a couple Russian ones that we can't, you know, we're not going to be able to talk about. Or Chinese. When you get into those breeds, they're Russian or Chinese, and it's kind of difficult right now. So what we're going to do with those, we're going to go with a horse named starting with that letter.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's the only option I have. And whatever breed that horse happens to be. Which led to the idea of starting this year, too, and that's Horses of the Alphabet. We're going to highlight one famous horse for every letter of the alphabet in all different disciplines and sports.
Oh, Glenn, I love that.
And it could be a horse from history, too, or which we'll just do a history segment, or somebody wrote a book. We'll have them on to talk about that. Or the previous owner or trainer of the horse. We're going to try and mix it up so there's English and Western and, you know, all over the place.
Yeah.
But we'll do Horses of the Alphabet starting with A. And I think that'll be a fun one to do, too.
Absolutely.
So you like that one? I didn't talk to you about
that one. I love
that one.
Yeah.
Oh, good. We're going to do a new segment this year called Where Are They Now? Where we're going to look back at guests of the past and get them on for updates. So these are guests that we've had on in the past. Could be 10, 15 years ago. Could be last year. But we're just going to get them on to find out what they're up to now. And I'm very happy to say, and I was going to keep this as a secret for Jamie, but she hates that with a passion, so I'm not going to
do it. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm very excited to announce the person I wanted to have on for Thursday's show agreed to come on Thursday as our first Where Are They Now? And I'm going to put a post in the auditor room having everybody guess, and we're going to see who guesses that correctly. But I don't want you to say who you think it is, but let me just say she was our most popular guest of all time. So that's a teaser, and I'll put a post tomorrow morning in the auditor room, and we'll see who guesses it first. We're going to continue with the question first world problems once a month. Obviously, weird news and really bad ads every week. Deanne from Horse Nation, who's also a very popular guest, has promised me that she'll be back once a month. Now, we tried this several times before, but I made her promise pinky swear this time. So hopefully we can get her because we love having her. Our Horse Husband of the Month, which we're starting today. And we're going to try and continue more regularly the product review shows. I'm going to WESA this month, and I'm going to talk to a bunch of companies about donating products. So we're going to try and get the product reviews more regular, maybe a couple times a month. So I have some that are lined up for this month that people got for review, and listeners and auditors will continue to do those reviews. So a lot of fun things, I think, coming up this year. You know, we try and create new things for you guys, but also for us. You know, it helps us liven it up a bit, too. This is our 16th year now, so...
That's just incredible.
I know.
It really is.
I'm tired thinking about it. I did want to say, end of July is also on a hit-em note. End of July is going to... We're working out the details now. I don't have an announcement yet, but I just want to tease it because we're including you guys in this, is our 4,000th episode. It's going to be like July 26th or 27th. I have to look again. But we're talking about doing a meetup at a location where people can get to, and making it a kind of a weekend, two-night thing together, and recording the episode with a whole bunch of listeners and friends that are going to be there. But this will be a thing we announce, and you can come attend. So
fun.
I will let you know more details on that as soon as I have them. Jamie and I are going to try and iron that out on Wednesday. And I have an idea that I think is a really good one, so we'll find out together.
Okay. I'm excited. I want to be there.
Yeah. Let me just say, I think you could be pretty easily. Okay?
Okay.
That's a hint for everybody else, if you know where Lisa lives. Okay, Lisa, how about you? You got a new little truck.
I did. I got a brand new Ford Maverick Hybrid, and I'm so excited. You know, Glenn, this is the first vehicle I've had that I've really enjoyed driving. You know, all the other vehicles I've had, it's like a thing to get from point A to point B.
You've always had work trucks too, pretty much.
Yes. And some of them have had more bells and whistles, you know, but they're still a work truck. And so it's got all the fancy stuff. I don't even know how to work all of it yet, but
they're
supposed
to get like 40 to 50 miles per gallon too.
I'm getting about 41 to 45 miles per gallon.
Yeah. We had ordered one when they first came out in COVID time. They first announced them, and we had ordered a hybrid. They didn't have them then. And it was 2 years. And after 2 years, they just canceled my order and sent my money.
Oh, wow.
We never did get it. So
yeah, because it's really roomy on the inside. Now the bed is much smaller than, you know, I'm used to, but you know, I'm not
using
it. But
the bed has lots of attachments to it.
It does. It does. And I got the one with the tow package, so it'll pull like 4,000 pounds. So
it does have the plugs in the back too?
Bed? Oh yeah. Yeah.
You're going to find that handy, by the way.
Yeah. You know, it's just amazing. And you know, I haven't junked it out yet.
What color is it?
A week, we'll see how long that lasts.
What color, blue?
It's green.
Green. Okay.
So Glenn, I told them I wanted a 2025 because they had a deal on the 2025s. And this was, you know, I bought it like right after Christmas. And so they had five left and four of them were white. And
I'm like, okay. It's the South. Everything's white.
That's not going to work. I mean, we have an 800-foot gravel road. And I'm like, okay, white's just not going to work. So the other one is, it's called Eruption Green. I know, right? Yeah.
So it's kind of a darker, but that's kind of funny.
I know, right? But it's kind of a
It's pretty. I saw the picture. It's pretty.
It's a pretty green. Yeah. Yeah. It's a real deep green and but it's fun. It's fun. So her name is Minnie, M-I-N-N-E, short for Minnie Tonka, because she reminds me of a Tonka toy I had once.
There you go. I love that. You know, we have the Ranger, which is just the next size up from that, but both the same size bed as you have. And we have the big truck too, like you do.
Yeah.
But I'm finding that you're going to fit more in that Ranger than you ever thought you could, in that truck than you ever thought you could.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hauled a bunch of stuff to my storage unit yesterday, and I was surprised at how much I got in there.
Yeah. I mean, oh, it's great. You're going to enjoy the heck out of that. Good job.
Thank you.
Now that you're not driving up north anymore, you've got a comfy truck.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've still got stuff in storage up there too, so I've still got to, you know, make trips. But yeah, so I'm looking for excuses to drive, Glenn.
I bet you are. I bet you are. How about the movie? Where are we at now? For new listeners, Lisa.
So we've got a production meeting right after the show.
Hold on one second. Let's recap for new listeners. Okay, Lisa's an author. She's written many murder mystery books that have been picked up for a movie and with a major movie house. And she's now in the process of getting that all set up. So where are we at now?
So we have a production meeting right after the show today. So we are probably going to be casting in the next couple of weeks, horses and people. So hopefully soon I'll have some news on that. We are filming the month of May in Lexington. So
that's confirmed. It's
confirmed. Okay. Yep. And we're just moving forward, you know. So we've got all the key people in place, the director of photography and the stunt coordinator and the director and the line producer. They're all in place. So now it's, you know, the script's done. So now it's just casting. So if anybody wants to be in a movie in Lexington in May, let me know.
It's funny because I'll be there in May for the AHPs there.
Yes. And we're filming during AHP. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be filming there. So we have some crowd scenes. So, you know, if somebody wants to be in those, I can maybe make that happen. So, and then we're going to be looking for four very specific looking Appaloosa horses. So, it's all good. I'll maybe put something on the auditor page.
Yeah, definitely do that.
About what we're looking for. But yeah, it's really kind of exciting.
And now after that, I'm assuming it's a year or two to get it in post-production until it finally comes out.
Well, you know, they're telling me no. They're telling me that we'll have like a rough edit, like I don't know, in July maybe.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
So I know. So, I'm thinking it might be out later in the year. But
will there
we'll
be
see.
A premiere and everything that we can go to?
Yes, it's going to be. We think it's going to be at Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah. So they've got a big theater and all kinds of, you know, red carpet stuff.
And Jamie and I invited because we were like the major stars in all the books.
Well, of course. Of course. Yes. And you can walk the red carpet.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right. I'm now excited about that.
See, lots of good things. Just hold on to the reins, Glenn.
We have 4,000th episode coming up this year. We have our Horse Lovers Cruise to Alaska in May. Mm. So we'll be going to there. And then we have your event in the fall. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of good stuff going on.
Great. Well, why don't you talk about Worm Flooring, and then we'll get to our first guest of the year, horse husband of recent guest and fellow co-worker at Equine Network, artist Larissa Ray. We have her husband, Griffin Ray, coming on. I know nothing about him. We didn't ask any questions ahead of time, so we'll both learn together.
It'll be fun. Well, when it comes to Worm Flooring, are you still wrestling with heavy, smelly rubber mats every time you want to clean your trailer? We've all been there. It's a backbreaking chore that most of us put off for way too long. And that's why you need to check out wormflooring.com. WORM stands for We Eliminate Rubber Mats, and that's exactly what they do. Their permanent pour-in-place flooring system creates a 100% liquid-tight seal that bonds directly to your trailer floor. No more urine or debris seeping underneath. No more corrosion, and absolutely no more heavy lifting. WORM is all about your horse's comfort. The half-inch cushion surface reduces road noise and vibration, providing a slip-resistant ride that keeps your animals calm and secure. Whether you have a horse trailer, a wash rack, or a vet clinic, WORM offers seamless, durable solutions that's easy to power wash and built to last a lifetime. Visit wormflooring.com today to find an authorized dealer and protect your investment with the floor your horses deserve. Wormflooring.com.
Well, what a way to start off a new year with our first guest of the year. And I, as America's Horse Husband, couldn't think of anybody more appropriate than to start our monthly Horse Husband segments with Griffin, who is a horse husband to Larissa Ray, who has been on our show a number of times recently talking about her art. Hey, Griffin.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Did she have to convince you to do this, or were you a willing participant? Or does she have you tied to the chair at this point? What's the story?
Yeah, you know, a little bit of both. There's a trap outside my office, so I can't leave. But no, I was more than happy to come on when she asked me. I thought it would be an interesting and fun time. So it was first podcast, so we'll see how it goes.
I have a picture. She sent a picture of you two together looking all snazzy and dressed up. I guess it was for one of the parties at USEF or something.
Yeah, she did. She did a live painting for one of the USEF fundraising events. It might have just been a team event out in San Diego, and we were fortunate enough to be able to attend and get out there and join. So we got a little dressed up for it.
Oh God, you are a horse husband if they're dragging to USEF events. That's.
Yeah, I mean, San Diego is not a bad part of the bargain for it. So as far as getting dragged into horse events goes, I'll take that one.
What do you do, Griffin?
Right now, I'm a security consultant. I'm former military and worked in the intelligence community before that for a number of years, and then got out and am doing some kind of security consulting on the side to help companies set up and kind of monitor some digital apparatuses that they use.
Oh my God, we had a guest last year, was one of our listeners who also was in the intelligence side of the military and just retired. Small world.
Yep. Yeah, that's how the wife and I met. So.
Oh yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, we actually. So I was a Marine and she was in the Army, and we actually were both linguists when we started. So we spoke Arabic. I quickly found out what linguists did and did not want to do that. So I went over and to the special operations side as an enabler. And even though I was over there, I still had to maintain my language. So they give you what's called a refresher course. And it just so happens that it's very brutal and beautiful Germany in the mountains, as you can imagine. Oh, so yeah, I got to go out
to the
there
Alps
for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, of all the places to pick, what a horrible location.
So do you have any issues with one being Army and the other being Marine?
Oh, no, not at all. Just a little friendly rivalry every now and again. But
I didn't even know you were allowed to marry. I didn't know that was allowed.
See, I didn't either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, different. As long as you're not within the same chain of command, there's usually no issues with it. But yeah, we were completely different branches, so they didn't have a problem.
So you met there, and well, you were both in the military. How was dating? I mean, that must have been difficult.
Oh yeah, it was a little bit of a long distance for a minute, but I mean, as far as long distances goes, we were about 2 hours from each other. I was in Camp Lejeune, and she was over here on Bragg, where we live now. So I would kind of get away on the weekends to go and visit, and it kind of just happened. And, you know, it was definitely the best part of that language trip. I don't even remember if I did well on my test or not. But you know.
Was it love at first sight kind of thing?
I think it was just, I mean, sure, the romantic answer, right, is yes, but I think it just kind of was a combination of the right time, right place, and both at the right points in our life to kind of find that. And, you know, she's absolutely amazing. You've had her on the show a ton. I can't speak highly enough of my wife. She's totally listening. But, no.
And not like she'll be on later in the show to rebut all of this either.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and she was special operations too, working with another unit out here, and just thankfully, I think that contributed a lot to the ease of the relationship that we both kind of had the same lifestyle at the time and deployments and everything. So there wasn't, you know, there wasn't any lack of expectations that, you know, there would be some gaps where both of us were gone or deployed at different times, and just very thankful for that.
Yeah, like those Navy guys. I mean, I kind of think they have it the roughest because they're gone for a very long time all the time.
It's like, yeah. I mean, you could say that, but then I've got a good buddy of mine who's a chief in the Navy, and, you know, his last deployment, he went through the entire, you know, port of Latin in Central America. So was enjoying, you know, the beach and refreshments and margaritas throughout. And I was like, oh yeah, that's such a horrible deployment. I really, really feel bad for you, you know?
Before we get into talking about your introduction to horses, I wanted to say, my wife and I, when we met, we lived 2 hours apart and we did the same thing. I kind of commuted on weekends and all of that for a year and a half. And I don't know about you, but I think that was better. I think that was better than we lived close and we just spent all that time together at the beginning. I think we had limited time at the beginning, but it was, I don't know, I hate the word quality time, but it really was quality time, right?
Yeah, it was absolutely correct. A lot of quality time. And I think it gave the relationship like the pace that it needed to turn into, you know, the amazing marriage that it is today. So I am very thankful for it. Obviously, it's hard. You know, you come home some days and you can't see your significant other. But on the other times, it's nice, you know, when you're just starting out to have your own personal space too.
Yeah, I agree. So was she into horses when you met her, or did she pop that later?
Oh, yeah. No, she's been into horses since she was a kid. So it's been a lifelong obsession. So not a bad one, but definitely knew a little bit of what I was getting into from the start.
Had you ever had any dealing with horses at all, or horse women?
No, not at all. This was my first foray into the horse community. Closest I ever got was some donkeys moving ammo up and down the mountains of Syria, and horse riding is not for me. So I will definitely take the one that we have over the ones that I was exposed to.
Yeah, I bet. So at what point did you realize it was a cult and a forever thing, and don't ever say it's me or the horse?
Oh yeah, I'm a car guy as well, so it's a very similar cult, I feel like, on both sides. So fortunately for me, it's very lucky that she gets horses and I get cars, so there's really not a lot of arguments on both sides when we come home with, you know, new and expensive toys.
Which is more expensive, do you think, the horses or the cars in the long run?
Oh, the horses for sure. Horses for sure. Yeah. Not only are they the same price as some cars, but then you got to feed them every month. You got to find a spot for them. You know, they're really only good at homicide and suicide, so they're constantly trying to hurt themselves. Like, it's
Lisa,
great.
Lisa's sitting over there going, educated. I can't disagree with any of this.
Right.
Right, Lisa?
Yeah, I think I knew it was a cult. We have a good friend of ours, Dana Cook, who's a rider that we met through one of Riss's events that she was doing at the Carolina Horse Park, and quickly got inundated into the higher levels of the eventing community. And boy, are they awesome. But cult sums it up. It's great.
Lisa, do you disagree with anything so far? I'll do a check-in here.
Oh, no. I'm right there.
Okay, good.
I'm right there. I just... You know, the whole thing about the cars and the horses, you know, I think that's a really good compromise.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I mean, mine don't need to eat every day, but, you know, when I come home with new car parts, I can be like, well, you know, that saddle last week, I think we're good.
Actually, yeah. We've talked about it over the years and had hundreds of horse husbands on over the years. And we've kind of determined that it's better for a horse husband to have their own hobby rather than having no hobby, because we've determined that there's a lot more friction when the horse husband doesn't have a hobby, because then they're expecting their wife to be there all the time.
Yeah. Thankfully, I think I have probably too many hobbies at this point. So we're just trying to fit in everything that we have. And with the addition of Connor, the horse, it's been a pretty cool process seeing her get to ride him.
I want to get back to Connor, but before we do that, I wanted to ask you because I've never asked this before. How did your military training on both your sides, you think, help your relationship now?
Oh boy. Well, we're both very upfront, and you know, we have.
I hadn't noticed that about Larissa.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, she'll definitely say what's on her mind. I think the biggest thing that the military helped for both of us was just that composure under pressure. You know, high stress things typically don't seem very high stress when you've done some of the more intense things in the military, which has been nice, and it, you know, allows us to communicate through issues and talk through things. And I mean, I don't think any relationship is ever perfect, but we try our best every day to, you know, work on it together. And I think that's, you know, one of the better things that the military helped us out was, you know, you're constantly improving your position.
You know, I think that's so true, because most arguments with couples are either over money or small things that are ridiculous, right? And so I kind of feel that you guys would just look at those as small, ridiculous things, that you, there are bigger fish to fry in this relationship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ours are more, you know, my wife is amazing, and she has a hard time saying no. So it's more, wow, you took on 5 projects this month. Like, we're gonna have a lot of time painting this month, aren't we?
I get the same stuff from my wife. Lisa will verify that. My wife finally said years ago, look, unless you're getting paid to do it, you can't do it anymore. So I had to say no to a lot more things. She has one horse at this point?
Yeah, just the one, just Connor right now. So,
and do you board or do you have your own property?
So right now we're boarding. He's like 3 minutes down the road at a friend of ours farm. We're currently building a barn that I think he's going to retire here. Honestly, it's just with the boarding situation right now, it's a really good situation for him. And he's got a bunch of friends, and I think Riss is going to keep him there while she, you know, does the competitions and rides him and just gives her a little bit more community. And then eventually he'll come back to our place once he retires.
And she's an eventer, if I remember right, right?
Yeah, eventing and then dressage.
And so
I know nothing about either of those. So, you know, the fact that I got the two things right, I think will put me in good graces.
Oh, that'll totally bring you some points.
Yeah.
Do you know what they are? How many phases are in eventing?
Okay, I actually do. We're fortunate we've got some really cool friends that we've made from. Okay. But the eventing, you know, cross country, you got the show jumping, and then the dressage.
Yay!
Is usually the
2
three,
points.
So, yeah.
Have you ever stayed awake for one of the dressage tests? That's another point if you have.
Yeah, I've been to a few of them.
That's not my question.
My favorite one is the cross country, though. If I had to pick one.
Yeah, none of us really watched dressage. We're looking at our phone going, yes, sweetie, you did great.
Yeah, you're doing great.
No idea what you just did.
I'm only watching if I'm videotaping, and I don't think – so she hasn't done a competition yet with Connor, but we've seen a bunch of our friend Dana ride. So I've definitely sat through enough dressage tests to know that it's not my favorite of the three.
So here's another opportunity for a point. What kind of a horse is Connor?
I believe he's a German sport horse.
Oh,
and I think I kind of remember that's correct.
He's a German sport horse, and he's FE Money Made is his show name, I believe.
Now I believe that's she is an Larissa's an amazing artist. Has she ever drawn your portrait? Or painted your portrait?
My portrait? Yeah. No. She's not much. I don't think she does portraits. She did do a really nice a Shelby AC Cobra, a 65 blue and white Cobra that's painted and hanging up in my office right now.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, she got points for that one too.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it looks amazing. It's one of my favorite pieces. Not a lot of portraits, but she's definitely done some of our dog. We've got a bunch of paintings of our puppy Isla around the house, but no, none of me, thankfully.
So I have to ask you, now we have to get to the real nitty gritty of this. What's the negative of being a horse husband? She's not going to listen to this. You don't have to worry.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm trying to find some negatives, honestly. I mean, it's nice because I get time to do my hobbies while she's out riding. Like, I mean, the big negative, I think the worst part is when it gets cold out, going around and feeding and breaking all the ice troughs open for them to have water. That's probably the worst part of it. But I mean, as far as horses go, he's got the personality of a Great Dane. So I can't really complain about, you know, the horse in general, which I think makes it really easy to be a horse husband when you just basically have a 1500 pound puppy dog following you around.
It's a little different. When I met Jennifer and Lisa, she had a off the track thoroughbred that was a little bit nutso, and then it ended up doing advanced levels in eventing. But that horse, I wouldn't get near that horse. I remember seeing her ride that horse, and you know the horse is up in the air more than not. And I had never had experience with one horse from another, and all I saw was it's going to kill her, and our marriage will be over in about 2 weeks. So,
So did you think that all horses were like that?
Oh yeah.
Oh no, no.
I did.
I mean, thankfully, I've seen between our friend's barn and then the Kingfisher equestrian. I've definitely seen that there's been some problem horses before, and I know they can kind of take over an attitude of their own, so to speak. So it's definitely not all as nice as we've. You know, got very lucky with the one we have, because the only thing you kind of worried about with him is that he's going to get you dirty. He's a giant dirt ball, and he will lick every part of you if you get close enough to him.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, he will put his tongue in your face if you're not careful. That's
Has
what you got to pay attention for.
Has she forced you to
get on? Oh, no. Zero interest. I do enough dumb things in my personal life. I don't need to add one more. That's hers.
You have your own ways of breaking bones.
Yeah. I do enough things where I could get injured. I don't need to add horse riding to the mix.
So I have to ask you a little bit, for all the horse husbands now listening, about your car obsession. What are you obsessed with? Because there's so many subsections of cars, too.
Oh, I know. There's a ton. I'm a big sports car guy. I do track days with a lot of my cars, and right now I've got a project Porsche 911, a 997 .2 that I'm working on putting back together at the moment. So she puts up with me having projects, and I get to go, you know, cuddle a horse. So I think she really got the poor end of the bargain here. I'm probably making it look a little too nice. All the other horse husbands are going to hate me now. But
So I'm still hung up on all the cars. How many is all?
Oh, man, she put up with a lot. At one point I had four personally.
Were they all running now, though?
They were all running. Okay. I do a very good job at keeping them running. This is actually the first project car I've had. I had a new Nissan GTR, and I had a Boxster before this at the same time. So we've had a ton of cars, and she's slowly getting into the car side of things. But she does her own, you know, we both make our own fiscally responsible decisions with horses and cars. If you can't hear the sarcasm in that, you know.
So I have to ask you, because this is a common thing with horse women, is their cars are not real clean. There's junk in them everywhere, and that's just not a priority, right? So I'm assuming your cars are spotless and hers are the junky ones?
Oh, I mean, I hate to throw her under the bus. No, it's I've got a truck now, and our truck has slowly become the horse truck. But
we all know what that means.
So it's definitely a combination of the two. I would say in day-to-day life, she is the more organized, cleanly of the two.
But oh, really?
The second the horse gets involved, you will find a hard time getting a seat in her car when there's five saddles and, you know, all of the tack and his blankets
so
in the
true.
Back. Yeah. So
Lisa, Lisa just got a brand new Ford Maverick, which is one of the little pickup trucks that are a hybrid, which I ordered one and never did deliver it. Is it junked up yet, or are you still
I'm
not going to eat
it? No. I have my little phone charger thingy in there, and that's it. It'll get junked up.
Okay,
it will. But
2 months and she'll be eating it and spilling drinks.
A week.
We had little beaters that were our junked up cars for a long time. I had a 88 like Toyota TK100, like a little Tacoma that was beat up and we got for a couple grand way back when. And that was our junk car for a little. You could throw whatever you want in it. No one would get upset.
Well, Griffin, you've been a great first guest of the year. We really appreciate you stopping by. Any final words for your lovely wife?
Only that I love her a ton, and she is the best. And I don't think I said anything too bad about our great Dane horse child. So, you know, I think I'll end the rest of the day in a relatively safe spot.
Yeah, you don't need the couch tonight. I think you're pretty good.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, yep. Griffin.
I'll just lock my door real quick.
Take care.
Yep, take care. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, now, I love this Horse Husband of the Month segment, and I'm going to make sure we get this done every month. It's just so much fun to hear the other side, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Although he had nothing negative to say, so I'm thinking they're newlyweds and they haven't been married.
We'll have to ask her that.
Yeah, exactly. So training tip, all the times we've had you on the show, you're a horse trainer and a people trainer. So why are we never get you to do tips? And I thought, well, we're going to start the year off right and you're going to do our first tip of the year. So what do you got?
Oh, so excited. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about anticipation, which really is anxiety in the horses, because I think we all see that, whether it's banging on the stall gate or during feeding or diving into the center of the arena 5 minutes before the lesson is over, or heading back to the barn or the trailer, going at breakneck speed, the horses anticipate when it's time to do something, and they get a little bit anxious about it sometimes. And so I've talked about this a lot in my clinics, and I think it's like the number one problem that if you can fix this or see improvement in this, you're going to see such a big difference in everything else you're doing with your horse. So the first thing that everybody has to do is keep your energy low. If the horse is acting like an idiot, well, that's their problem and not yours. And you never, never, never get upset. So if you're attracting that negative energy and you're attracting the attention of the horse, you're going to lose out to begin with. So, you just keep the energy low. You don't get upset, and then just ask the horse to back away from the stall door. And maybe you're only going to get one step, but he doesn't get fed until you get that one step back. Maybe if he's, just going into the center of the arena 5 minutes before the lesson, well, you go a little longer, or maybe you go out one day and you ride for 10 minutes and then you get off. I mean, shake it up a little bit and don't keep doing the same length of ride every time. And then you can do the best correction, I think, with the ground manners, with leading. When the horse gets in front of you, just turn circles to the right, move him out of his space, stop, stand, and then move on. And so, Glenn, I think the thing to remember here is this is all going to happen. Improvement or correction is going to happen on the horse's time frame and never on yours. So, it might be, we had one horse here at Colby's Army, and when he got here, he had just terrible, terrible ground manners. And he would stand in the cross ties outside and he would just dig. I mean, paw with both feet. And we just put somebody with him and just stood there just quietly and gradually increased his time. And it took about a month. And now he's fine in the cross ties because he realized, the world's not going to end. But I think, just using some effort, knowing that you might do this 3 times, you might do it 30, you might do it 300 before you're seeing improvement, because it's all on the horse's time frame. So I think, when you've got any kind of anticipation or anxiety, it can escalate to the point where it's dangerous. And you don't want it to get to that point. If it is to that point, obviously you want to contact a professional. You want to make sure that you aren't putting yourself in danger. But, even the little things, a horse who, is banging on a stall door before he's getting fed, that can be really annoying, and it can be damaging to the horse and damaging to the stall. So, just make him back away, and then he gets fed, and then he'll learn, and then he'll stand nicely in the center of the stall. At least that's the goal. But you know, horse's time frame, never yours.
It's interesting because Jennifer's gone through this with her horse, James, who's 4 years old. He's the saddle horse, the gated horse. And James is, we don't think he's, he spends a lot of time, she has lots of toys in his stall because he spends a lot of time playing with those toys. And we don't think it's, yes, we have determined he has ulcers and she's treating for that. And I think that's going to help some of this. It really was ulcers this time. But also, I think he's bored. He's just bored. You know, some of them, it's anxiousness and anxiety. Some of them, they're just bored.
They're just bored. Yeah. Or they just want to mess with you, or they're just, you know, they just like to play.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we have our horses separated because the playing was too hard. Yeah. And especially with Scooter, they both love Scooter. Scooter hates them both. So, you know, if I take Scooter for a walk and they can't see Scooter, they go ballistic. Scooter is the one that they both love, Nigel and James, but Scooter could care less. He's just, I'm the pony, I'm in charge, you guys, I don't care. So if we take the others away, Scooter doesn't care. But they love him, and that's been a problem. So if we had Scooter out with one or the other would just go ballistic. So it was just finally we have to separate them, and we keep them separated because it was just easier.
Too much.
Yeah, it was too much. And somebody was always getting hurt. It was like, okay, we just need to solve this problem a different way. And I know they're meant to be herd animals. They can still see each other. They're hanging out right across the fence, right? But they just can't kick the crap out of each other.
No, or you.
Or me. And Scooter would always win. See, that's the thing. You know, they would go after, you know, whole biting, kicking thing. And Scooter's tiny. He's like 13 hands. But boy, he can get those back legs way out there.
You know, well, it sounds like he's the herd leader.
He is. And, you know, and he just doesn't want to be picked on. You know, it's just, I'm in charge and you do not pick on me. And the others would just keep coming back for more, especially Nigel, the thoroughbred.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a really good point, Glenn, that you brought that up, because a lot of times the, you know, the anticipation or the anxiety can go back to what's going on in the herd.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
It has nothing to do with you, but it's going to affect you. So your horse has to learn that, you know, when he or she is around you, that they have to be respectful.
And I think in James's case, he grew up with his brother and never left his brother till we got him at 3 years old.
Yeah.
And then we separated him and he's out with the horses, but not in the same field. You can see him, obviously, and our neighbors all have horses. There's horses everywhere. But I think he's pissed that he's not out with another horse so he can play, you know? And I think that's legitimate, actually, on his part.
Well, sure it is. Yeah. He wants to play with his friends.
Yeah. Unfortunately, neither one of them are good playmates. So it's not his fault. It's their fault.
No.
It is an interesting topic because we all deal with it. If you've had any number
Everybody.
Of horses, you've dealt with all of this. Right.
Everybody deals with it. And you know, I really think that, you know, it's going to take some time. It's consistency. And it's so hard, at least for me, Glenn, not to get upset sometimes. It's like, you're just being stupid. You know, it's just, come on. But you just have to just know that at some point they're going to improve. If it's not going to be fixed, they're going to improve.
Very good. Well, thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that. What's your website again, by the way?
LisaWysocki.com.
Gotcha. So for the books or for anything, if you live in the Tennessee area, Lisa's up there running Colby's Army and helping the homeless in Nashville, which is probably getting to be a huge chore nowadays.
Huge issue everywhere.
Yeah. And especially in the winter. Well, we, as longtime listeners know, Jamie and I do not do New Year's resolutions. We have never done New Year's resolutions. If you do them, great. More power to you. You're better than us because we are not that way, built that way. I never was. She never was. But we do loose goals. We like to say they're goals, but I think they're more suggestions. We do loose suggestions of what the year might bring because both of us hate being disappointed in ourselves. So this way, if there's suggestions and we don't get them done, I don't have to be disappointed.
There you go.
We have enough disappointment in ourselves. I don't need to add to it. So we both have a self-esteem problem. So we're not going to add to it. I don't know how you are. Are you a resolution person or are you just a loose goal person?
I'm a loose goal person, but I'm hoping this year that turns into a resolution.
Oh, God. Here we go. But see, that's what happens every year. So don't disappoint yourself, Lisa. Just keep them loose resolutions. Just leave them there. Lower your expectations. Remember, it's the year of the horse. Remember what we said?
This is true. But my resolution goes back into that. So
okay. All right. I'll do mine, and then we'll hear yours, and then we'll hear a couple of our listeners. We had a lot of them, so we'll only be able to do a few. I want to keep making good shows. There's a loose resolution. You know, but we've been doing it 16 years, and believe it or not, it gets harder to make good shows after you've done it for so long. I have the best people to work with in the world, and you and Jamie and our Tuesday and Thursday gang is really good, and Ashley and Jennifer. So we have good people to work with.
Yeah.
So that makes it easier, but we still have to worry about content, right? So
sure.
And booking guests is a freaking nightmare. It's the worst part of my job. It's the worst part of any podcaster's job is booking guests. It's just a ton of emails back and forth. You don't get responses, or they respond to you 3 months after you ask them. And it's trying to get some cohesiveness and consistency in booking guests is a nightmare. Or they canceled the last minute. It's just a mess. So we're hoping to continue making good shows with new content and new things that keep us excited and you. I'm working on getting the tour business up and running. I talked about that. I don't know if you were on, but I'm thinking in my retirement, it would be fun to retirement. I'm still in charge of Hit'em, which is 20 episodes a month. But in my part-time, spare time, is doing tours of Ocala. But not boring tours of Ocala. That would bore me. I'm looking at making them fun tours of Ocala. Glen-style tours of Ocala. So yeah, there'll be some horse farms included, but there's also going to be wineries or breweries and, you know, food and, you know, that kind of thing. So obviously, WEC will always be a part of that because everybody wants to see the World Equestrian Center. But, you know, I know these things. I have a lot of friends that have farms here. So if you want to go see an eventing farm, we can do that. And I'm trying to do it through toursbylocals.com. So the one thing I can't do is in Florida, I can't do it where I drive because the insurance is almost $10,000 a year.
Really?
So I don't want to do this and be paying for the insurance for the whole year, right? So so it would have to be that they drive. I go in their car, right? So I go in the customer car or the rental or whatever it is. I just can't do it the other way. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
So you need all kinds of more insurance, and it just is too expensive. I wouldn't make any money. I'd lose money.
Yeah.
So and I want this to be fun, you know, that we can all hang out together and just – it's more like tourswithfriends.com, right? So
Glenn, I can't imagine you doing anything that would be boring.
Well, it's just going to be fun for me too, you know, and we can just have a good time. And that's the only thing I was really having a tough time figuring out. And when I finally got the final numbers on it, it was like, I can't spend 10 grand in insurance a year to run a car.
No.
So that's how we'll have to do it. And then I'm hoping to get that up and running. Tours by Locals is very picky, and you have to go through this whole process, and I think I won't have a problem with that. And there's nobody in Ocala doing it. So Tours by Locals is kind of like Airbnb for tour guides. You get local people who will show you around. It's not cheap. I mean, it's, you know, we make money doing it, but it's a whole different experience than you would get anywhere else. We did it. I got to tell you, when Jennifer and I were in Amsterdam, we hired a Tours by Locals guy for 4 hours to take us around Amsterdam. Now, it cost like $400. It was the best $400 we ever spent. It was a walking tour of Amsterdam for 4 hours with this dude. It was just he and Jennifer and I. And he showed us – he's a Jewish guy, and he lost all his relatives during World War II.
Because
Amsterdam was one of the cities they had taken over. And we got to hear a lot of that side. Plus, he was a guy who worked with – he was had a charity run to benefit the sex workers in Amsterdam. And it was right after COVID, and he had spent a lot of time feeding those people who weren't making any money. And his wife has a chocolate shop down in the red light district in Amsterdam. So we learned so much. I mean, just...
Oh, absolutely.
And it was about the horrors of that whole life, too, for those people, the stuff you don't hear. But it was real Amsterdam, you know? It wasn't the fluff tourist tour you get. And that's what I want to do. So I'm hoping to get that accomplished and up and running in the next couple months. Plus, we have the Horse Lovers Cruise coming up in May, which we have 44 horse lovers going on that cruise. We're flying to Alaska. We're going to spend a few days in Anchorage together. And then we're sailing from Anchorage down to Vancouver on a 7-night cruise, stopping in all the Alaskan ports.
Oh, how cool is that?
Oh, I know. I'm so excited about that cruise. It'll be so much fun. So anyway, those are my loose goals for the year. How about you?
That's a lot. You know, my goal is just to say no.
It's a good goal. Jennifer told me I had to do that years ago. I've gotten better at it. Your life is going to be so much better.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got a lot going on. And so I think it's just, I know there are going to be people who are disappointed because I can't help with this or I can't help with that. But I just got to say no sometimes.
Well, and people in you and I's situation, we get asked to be on boards all the time. And for, yes. for either nonprofits or businesses or whatever. And yes. I just said yes to one last year that I'm passionate about and I kind of helped create it in the podcasting space. But
yeah.
it's the first one I've said yes to in 8 years. Just because you're right. It's just time is our enemy.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, unless I'm really passionate about it or it's there's some kind of time constraint that I have to get this done. And you know, I'm just not going to do it this year.
There gets to a point. Jennifer made me do this years ago because I was saying yes to everything and everything I was saying yes to didn't pay anything. And she's like, look, we're getting to the age where we need to get paid for our work. So she I couldn't do anything, start a new podcast, whatever it was, it had to be making money or I wasn't allowed to do it. And she was that was the wisest thing that ever happened.
Smart.
Yeah. I mean, you get to that point in life where I get asked all the time by other podcasters for advice. And I'm like, yeah, I got to start charging for that now. I just, and I feel bad because, you know, you and I are built the same. We want to do it for free.
Yes. I want to help everybody, you know, and I want to go do everything and see everything. And it's just, you know, I was pretty burned out at the end of the year. And of course, a lot of that was because my mom had passed running back and forth and all of that. But even without that, there was a lot of stuff that just either I wasn't passionate about it or I'm thinking, how did I get roped into this? Mm. You know?
We always say yes and think it's a good idea until it actually comes.
Exactly.
Well, it's the year of the horse. You have a control of the reins. It's going to be a better year.
Yes.
How many references are we going to make to that this year? Keep control of the reins.
1,000. Yeah.
1,000. So I got some listener feedback here. I just picked a few of them because we don't have time for all. One is my goals are to keep moving and ride more. You know, and she, I think she's a little older, if I remember right. So I got to tell you, keep moving and do anything more as you get older. It's a goal. It's a legitimate goal.
This is true.
My 2026 horse goal is to find, create, and choreograph a training level freestyle.
Ooh.
That's a lot of work. You know, those freestyles, especially at training level, are serious business. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever done freestyles?
I have, yeah.
And
there is a lot to it. There's a lot to it. And I think for me, you know, it's I can't just do the goal. I have to set up, how am I going to get to the goal? You know, how am I going to create the time and setting deadlines, you know, to get certain steps done, which gets to be a lot of work.
I don't know about you, but music, even in the shows here for the last 15 years, picking the right music, it's always been a nightmare for me. I'm not good at it. I'm not musically inclined
anyway.
And it's
so important.
But yet it sets the mood. It sets the tone for the show or the segment or the bumper or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I imagine picking a freestyle music must be a freaking nightmare.
Yes. There's so many options, you know?
Well, there's options, but you know, I need the right tone, the right beats. In that case, getting down to beat level, right?
Yes.
I admire anybody that does that well. My biggest horse goal for 2026 is to make it to some shows this year at second level, which is getting up there. So
yes, good.
So good luck with that. That's a big goal. This is the reason I put this one in. I also want to teach my non-horsey new husband how to be my horse show groom. Well, good luck with that. You didn't hear Griffin volunteering to be a groom, did you?
No, did not. But maybe he does, but we'll have to ask Larissa.
By the way, let me know who that new horse husband is. We need to get him on the show and warn him of what's to come.
Yeah.
To not buy another horse. It wasn't Jamie. It was somebody else.
That's a tough one.
Paint every room in my house, lose 12 pounds, read 12 books, go on 12 dates, and clear my credit cards.
Ooh.
Okay. Which one do you think is actually going to happen? Take a guess.
She might go on 12 dates.
I think the best chance is to read 12 books. Lose 12 pounds is the hardest part.
So what would be fun is at the end of the year to see how many people actually got stuff done.
Oh, yeah. I need to look up who did this one specifically and follow up with them.
Yes.
Oh, I need to do that. I think the hardest part of these options would be lose 12 pounds. That's always the hardest.
I think that's the hard one. And even painting every room in the house, that's a big
Well, if you do that, you might lose 12 pounds. So,
well, there you go.
There's that. They might. We've done that, paint every room in the house. And yeah, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yep. Actually have some fun with my horses besides just taking care of them. That's every horse person.
Yes.
It's our nightmare. It's our crutch right there.
Yes.
Do less adulting, do more horsing. Yeah, good luck with that one.
Yeah.
Damn adulting.
We all want to do that.
Yeah. My goal is to keep learning something, anything. And I know this person was a little older in life. And they said that because, you know, as you get older, if you're constantly learning things, you keep your youth. And I have found that I'm 63. I still want to learn new things, but that's kind of me too. I have ADD. So, you know, it kind of, but I know you're the same way.
Oh, I'm the same way. And it keeps, you know, I hear something like that and I go back to Jack Brainerd, who was one of my first riding instructors, and he's passed a few years now, but he was 99 and he was still on a horse just about every day, not doing a lot, but he was on a horse. And he said every day he learned something new about a horse or about himself. And I thought, how cool is that?
There you go. I know. Yeah. Monty probably feels the same way, and he's 90,
I'm sure.
90, 91 now. So,
yeah.
All right. I want to end on this one. This was one I saw a Lisa Wallace post.
I love this.
Anybody with a diesel will relate to this. I had this problem the other day.
Yeah.
If you haven't decided on a resolution for the new year, not parking at the diesel pump when you have a gas vehicle. 2, parking in an actual parking space instead of the pump. 3, when you're done at the pump, move your vehicle. These are great choices. Just saying. Oh, my God. This is a freaking nightmare when you have a diesel.
It is. It is.
The other day I pulled in. Thank God Wawa exists, because Wawa's have multiple diesel pumps now. They're not just the ends. Most places have the ends or diesels. And there's always some jerk in a car who's taking 25 minutes in the store.
Yes. We don't have Wawa's here, I don't think.
Oh, God. Wawa's are so nice. Almost every row has diesel pumps.
Oh.
So nice.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, for sure. For sure. But even people just, you know, parking and, as you said, spending 25 minutes in there and, you know, then nobody else can get gas.
And what are you doing in there? Except for Wawa, who has a really good deli, best food in any, they're even up there with Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they have really good food. So you're waiting for your food. I get it. But if you're in a 7-Eleven, what are you doing?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Play your lottery tickets when you get back to the car and move it. Don't do it in the store. That's also my pet peeve, as you can tell. So yes. We're going to end on that positive note for the year, for the day. We got Larissa coming up, who's the wife of the horse husband you heard on the show today. So hang on for that. Thank you so much, Lisa, for filling in all the time when we ask you. And by the way, on your note there, on your loose goal, you are allowed to say no when I ask occasionally if you want to. Okay.
Oh, but, no. I mean, I will say no if I can't do it.
Okay. All right.
I do love doing it. So
I know we love each other and we're friends first.
Yes.
And that I often think sometimes Lisa's just doing this because I asked her, but I appreciate you doing it. I know you enjoy doing it too.
I do.
And you're good at it. We do appreciate that. So
Thank you.
Auditors. Jamie will be back on Wednesday and we'll find out what went on in her life over break. I'm sure it was exciting. I know she got a new horse. We'll see how that's going. So all of that coming up on Wednesday's show. Get your weird news in too. weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you, Lisa. Lisa again, it's lisawysocki.com. And hang on, auditors.